This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Anne Fogarty was caught up in the Ash Wednesday bushfires of February 1983, and her life was forever changed in so many ways by the events of that day. Her memoir, Forged with Flames, recently won the Australian Christian Book of the Year. Hi, Anne. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me.
That's all right. Hello, Katrina.
Tell us a little bit about that terrible day, February 16th, 1983, which really started out like any other day.
Well, it did. The only difference was it was very hot right from the beginning, and we just went about our normal things. And it wasn't till about 4:45 in the evening that I noticed some smoke rising from the trees that we could see from our kitchen window. And that just caused me a pang of fear. And my girls were actually, who were 4 and 6 at the time, were actually playing with the neighbour's child. So I went and quickly got them and wanted to have them with me. And all the power went off, all the phones went off, so there was no way of finding out what was happening, and no one seemed to know.
That was really quite striking, reading your account. In this day and age, you would have got a text message, you would have had access to the internet. You were so isolated, weren't you? You really had no information about what was happening.
No. We were really in the dark, and no one believed that it was going to turn into the terrible fire that it did. And it wasn't till about 9 o'clock at night, when I'd put the girls to bed, that an emergency vehicle went up the road and just shouted out to all of us, just get out, there's going to be a wind change. So I grabbed the girls quickly out of bed, and because my husband wasn't home, he was stopped by a roadblock. Mm-hmm. Some neighbours had said, come with us. So we all jumped in their car, only to discover that one of their children was missing. So we all jumped out again, and by the time we realised we couldn't find him, it was too late to leave. The tops of the trees were on fire and the wind was just ferocious.
And you managed to protect your girls, though, didn't you? Because they had wet blankets around them, but really bore the brunt of the fire.
I did. Carol, my neighbour, grabbed 2 blankets, and she and her daughter were under one of them, but there wasn't really room for my 2 girls and me under the other. So we wet them and we covered them with a wet blanket, and I just laid over the top of them.
And then what happened?
And then there was this enormous roaring. I'd never heard a noise like it before. And something just hit me with an enormous bang. And then I was in the most terrible pain I could ever imagine. And I found out later there were actually fireballs flying ahead of the fire, and one unfortunately had just come down the narrow passage where we were sheltering and hit me.
I couldn't help thinking, reading that though, that you probably did save your girl's life by you being there in front of them.
Well, it is amazing that just a wet blanket and a body would completely protect the girls. When I think of the burns I received, it is quite miraculous, I think.
Yeah. Now, you had such a long recovery process and you weren't expected to survive. What do you remember of those first few months where it was really touch and go as to whether you'd even make it?
I remember the terror. I remember the pain. I remember feeling that God hadn't done what he was supposed to do. And I just remember just striving so hard to take one breath after another. I just did not want to die, first of all because I was terrified of dying, and then later because I realized I had 2 little girls and I wanted to be there for them. So it was a terrible time in lots of ways, particularly in those early weeks when I just sensed from those around me that they weren't expecting me to survive.
And you hardly saw your girls in that time, did you?
No, because I was in intensive care and they had a policy at that time that children weren't allowed. Later on, they let them in, but Rachel, my youngest, just didn't think I was mum. I didn't look like mum anymore. Sarah, apparently they both screamed when they first saw me. Thankfully, I don't remember that. Mm. But I was in this isolation room and they peer in through the window and just didn't recognise me at all.
Your faith must have been through some quite dark times.
It was. As I say, I felt so sure as we sheltered that God would keep us safe. And I said to my neighbour, don't worry, God will keep us safe. I just couldn't doubt that for one minute. And then to find that, you know, that wasn't the case. I really had to rethink my whole idea of God.
Mm. It sounds like that time in the hospital particularly was a very, very dark time, and yet there were some odd moments of humour, like the time when your ear fell off.
I know, I still laugh about that. I mean, it shouldn't have been funny, but when the nurse was doing the dressing, she screamed, and when I asked her what was the matter, she said, oh, your ear's just fallen off. And I just had this image of all my body parts starting to fall off. And for some reason, and I'm glad, maybe it was to keep my sanity, I just started to laugh, and then the nurse started to laugh, and we just laughed and laughed, and it really hurt to laugh because every movement hurt, but it was just, it released something, I think, and kept my sanity at that time.
Mm. I'm speaking with Anne Fogarty, who was caught up in the Ash Wednesday bushfires of 1983, and her life really was forever changed by that day. Now, Anne, one of the casualties of that day was, in the end, your marriage. And that is not at all uncommon in couples who have been through great trauma. In fact, you know, it's very common. Did that make your recovery so much harder?
It did. I couldn't believe that life could get any worse. You know, I seemed to have come through the worst, and we seemed to be getting along with our lives. We'd bought a new house. And then suddenly our relationship started to deteriorate, and I think that was the lowest point. I really, after Terry left, I really felt like I'd like to give up, and almost did. So I think that was definitely my lowest point.
And your healing journey kind of, you know, recommenced one day when all your trauma came out through a big scream. Tell us about how that happened.
Well, as part of trying to hold our marriage together, we went to a counsellor, and unfortunately, he tried to help us, and it wasn't possible that we could stay together. But he said to me, ever since I've known you, I felt you have a scream inside you, and I think it's about the fires. And he invited me to come on my own, and he would help me to let it out. And it took a long, long time, because I'm a very shy person and not into screaming.
Mm.
And one day he hit upon the idea of starting to scream himself and invited me to join in. And once I started, I could not stop. I just screamed and screamed. And it was very healing, because I felt there was one person on the face of this earth that had actually heard what the fires were like for me. That was just a tremendously healing thing, so I'm very grateful to him.
I must admit, reading your book, I was really quite shocked by just how traumatic what you went through was, and that it was even possible to survive something that was that traumatic. How do you cope now when you see and hear about these kinds of events unfolding somewhere else, like the fires we've just been having in New South Wales?
It just breaks my heart. And if I watch too much of it, if, particularly on the TV, if I see graphic pictures, it just throws me right back and re-traumatizes me. So I really have to guard myself about the images I watch. And to smell a whiff of smoke, something in my brain just clicks, and I'm right back there. So definitely a lot of triggers set it off again. Yeah. And I just have to guard against that.
I can imagine you don't have an open fireplace in your home.
I don't, no.
On a positive note, there were some good things that came out of it, and one of those was that you were later able to meet the firefighter who rescued you. What did that mean to you both?
Oh, it was such an emotional day. We both cried, but it was like we'd been through a war together. And, you know, I will love that man forever. He doesn't consider himself a hero, but he is a hero, and definitely in my eyes. And, yeah, I think we're like brother and sister now. And it was a beautiful moment, and our friendship will continue, I know.
Mm. And as someone who did lose their house and also suffered, you know, so much personally, what perspective can you offer to those here who are going through this right now?
Well, there is definitely more in you than you ever think possible. You learn what's important and what's not. For us, I don't want to underestimate what losing house and property means. It's huge, but I think if you've lost a loved one, or if you've been burnt yourself, suddenly that goes into proportion. there are things that you can't replace, but memories are still inside you, and you can make new memories and build a new house. So give yourself time. You can come through it and just be grateful that you haven't lost something that is absolutely irreplaceable.
Yeah, and that's human life, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and for using your experiences to help others through this amazing book, Forged with Flames.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah, it's been great to talk to you. That's Anne Fogarty, who was severely burned in the Ash Wednesday fires in February 1983, and her memoir, Forged with Flames, won the 2013 Australian Christian Book of the Year. It really is a great read.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.